5.5 months or so that many of you have been with me, that you need to have a higher level of life expectancy.
You know what? Just give something to get, okay? The proverbial, the dessert after all the dinner for the meals that we often partake in. I have up here a website called 220life.com. And the creator of this website is with us. His name is Jeff McDaniel. Jeff, if you could stand up, please. And Kent McDaniel, or our co-Jeff, Jeff will be delivering this message on our behalf today. And the text that he will be sharing, or actually, night this morning, the 220 light comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And let's all read this together. Ready, set, go. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So with that in mind to us, without further ado,
Jeff. I know, I'm sorry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ron will call. The first thing I want to throw out, I'm not a chaplain, and 220 Life is a website just to share stuff, but I really want to put that out, is, hey, I'm just a soldier like everyone else here. Sometimes people look at the chaplain as like, well, hey, been to seminary, holy roller, I can't ever do that, that's not me. Well, I'm living proof. I'm an intel guy, so I have a real army job, and I do other stuff. But yet, you can still... Whoa. You're reading into that. So, hey, but the point is that you can have a regular job and still be a lover of the Lord, and you can still do things for Him. And so that's really, if you go onto the website, that's the very first thing that's on there, is it talks about being a tent builder, just like Paul. Paul had a regular job, and he still did ministry, wrote most of the New Testament, while he still had a regular job. So, one thing we need to do, does everybody have a Bible? We'll need to get some Bibles. We're going to bounce around and we're going to dig into the Word today. And so, we'll need some Bibles. Alright. And then the next thing that we need to do is we need to pray. And we need to pray that none of my words come out, but that it's all the Lord's words. So, if you guys join me, we'll open up here in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. And Lord, we come as a group this morning. Father, we're just begging that you would speak to us. Father, we ask that none of my words would come out this morning, but that this message would be completely of you, Lord. And Father, any piece of me that tries to come out, Father, we just ask that you would close that piece of the message, and that, Father, your words would come out and speak directly to the hearts here, Lord. Father, we love you so much, and we desire you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd just like to get a little bit of feedback here. I'd like to first, do we have anybody here that's a non-Christian? No? Okay. Good. Not good, but... Alright, do we have anybody who is a Christian? Alright, good. We're off to a good start. Do we have anyone here who is a bad Christian? Awesome. Okay. Alright, do we have anyone here who is a real Christian? Do we have anyone who's a true Christian? I'm a born-again Christian. Do we have anyone here who's used any of these titles to describe another Christian to someone else in order to say they're a good Christian? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, I'm glad it's not just me. I think sometimes in the church we get into this, hey, so-and-so, he's a believer. He's a real believer, man. He's a born-again believer. But there's a little problem with that. Scripture doesn't teach that. All right? Does anybody know a Christian who proclaims to be a Christian but yet lives like the devil? Is anyone? No. You don't have to do it. Ever wondered that person who claims to be a Christian but lives like the devil? Ever wondered if are they really Christian? Ever thought about it? Or ever said, he says he's a Christian, but he ain't saved. He's not really a Christian. Ever been down that road? Ever wondered why some people are that way? Why they can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet I live like the devil? Ever wondered why? Alright, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I need two volunteers to be a volunteer through the whole thing. Alright, more? Ben, you want to be? Alright, Glenn's my other volunteer. Alright, you want to be one? Alright, you're off the hook, Glenn. Alright, more? And what's your first name? Amanda. Alright, you guys come on up here. Alright, I need you guys to stand right over here. Alright, we've got a good Christian and a bad Christian, okay? This one here, you tell me which one this one is. This one here likes to drink, borderline alcoholic, smokes, cuss regularly, addicted to porn, and sleeps around. Which one is this? But he claims to be a Christian. Which one is this? There you go. Alright, this one here lives like a saint, reads the Bible regularly, prays regularly, and helps everyone. Good Christian, alright. What separates these two? First of all, how do we know that they're a Christian? Turn to Romans 10:9. What's the first thing that's implied in Christian? We believe in Christ, right? So we got to have a cross, right? Jesus died on the cross. So we got a cross, a big one right here. What does Romans 10:9 say? All right, so if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved, right? All right, so you guys both profess Jesus is Lord?
Yes.
Believe in your heart, right? All right, so you have confessed, you believe in Jesus on the cross. All right, so come on over here. That's the unbeliever side. You've crossed over. You have accepted Jesus. Come on over. He's bad, but he said that, right? So based on Romans 10:9, he's a Christian, right? Based on Scripture.
Amen.
There's no other qualifying factor. Am I right?
Amen.
Okay. Now, we're bouncing into some theology here. And we're not going to go seminary or nothing here. I'm just saying, Scripture says this. Now, I'm going to offer you a concept. We got the bad Christian right here, right? All right, you stay here. Good Christian, you come right over here. All right, so we got the bad Christian and the good Christian. What's the difference between these two? So the things that we see, right? There's things evident in their lives that we see that separate them, right? Okay. Somebody turn to 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And this is going to show you that even in the early church, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth here. So this is a church, a body of believers that he is addressing, and he's bringing up the same concept. Who has it? Who wants to read it?
3:1-3,
sir.
Brothers, I will not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, but you were not yet ready. For indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men?
Yeah. So the very first part here, Paul is saying to the church, hey, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as worldly people. I had to address you as infants in Christ. I couldn't give you meat because you weren't ready for it. You see here two different types of Christians in this church? Paul says it. He says worldly and spiritual. I've called those a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. Okay? Check this one out now. These are going to be the two key verses that we've got for this. Hebrews 5:12 through Hebrews 6:1. right towards the end of the Bible. It throws you off because the Hebrews were the people in the Old Testament. So it always throws you off and sends you to the wrong side, but then you realize that they wrote a book in the New Testament too. But all right, who's got it? Hebrews 5:12-6:1.
For though by this time you lost your teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the power to discern it, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, and of instruction about walking, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal blessings.
Okay. So that very first part there, he says, though by now you ought to be teachers of the law, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's doctrine all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Right? Sounds similar to 1 Corinthians 3:1? Okay. We can take some of these pieces out of these verses, and we can see these two right here. And there's several characteristics about them. The first one here is both of them talk about infants, right? So the first one for a carnal Christian is infancy. What are some characteristics of an infant? Selfishness. Can't feed themselves. That's the key one right there. They can't feed themselves. Right? They're dependent. So how does that transfer over in the spiritual side? Spiritually, an infant in Christ is one who cannot feed himself. He will always need someone else to feed him. I don't like this church, the pastor doesn't feed me. I'm going to go to somewhere else where I can be fed. And I don't like this guy because he doesn't feed me. And then they start bouncing around looking for another teat to suck milk off of. Because they cannot feed themselves. An infant can't eat meat. You read that, sir? He had to drink, he had to feed him milk, right? So there are some concepts in Scripture that are pretty deep. They're the spiritual meat in the Bible. An infant will not grasp it. And if you try to give it to them, they're going to choke. Even an infant, if you cut it up right, an infant is going to choke on meat. They can't eat it. They have to have milk. What's another thing? You said selfishness, right?
Infant Christian, not infant baby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they go hand in hand. Can an infant help somebody else? No. An infant has to be helped and does not help someone else. Right? An infant, I got four kids, so I know a little bit about babies. I can change my own kids' diapers, all right? But you give me another kid, like babysit or something, and the kid poos itself, I'm done. I don't do poo. Alright, it's nasty, it's disgusting. Kids don't like it. If you leave them in it long enough, they'll start screaming. Nobody likes to sit in their own poo, right? Well, here's the thing about a spiritual infant. Infants poo themselves. They make a mess. Ever wondered why some Christians are constantly in a mess? Because they're pooing themselves. You reap what you sow. Spiritually, they continue to poo themselves and they sit in it. And they need someone else to help them because they can't help themselves. It's going to continue to happen until you grow out of diapers. You're going to continue to mess yourself. So that's the first thing, is infancy. Another thing that he brings up on the carnal side is continued sin. Right? He brings that up. Somebody turn to 1 John 2:15-16. And we're talking continued sin and failure in life. Do you have it over here? Alright.
Do not love the world, or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of
not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world does not love the Father, is what he's saying. How many of us, and I'm here, I am completely in this boat, how many of us have these things that we just want? Oh yeah, I gotta have that boat, I gotta have that car, I gotta have the motorcycle, I gotta have the house. Hey, these things aren't bad until they consume you. Until that's your focus and that's all you want and that's taking your time and your love is there. These things will pull you away from the Lord. And these things will move you into a life of continued sin. Because if you're not with the Father, you're with the world. And it says you don't love the Father. That's where continued sin comes from. Continued failure. We're all Christians here. We've all said we're Christians. How many have an area in your life that you just want to overcome and you just cannot? You continually fail in this area. Right here. Right here. That is a sign of spiritual immaturity. We're not going to be perfect. There's only one person who is perfect. Look at Paul. Paul sinned. Peter definitely sinned. The disciples, all of them, they sinned. However, you see a difference from the Peter in the Gospels to the Peter in the New Testament. You see a difference. He grew. Spiritually mature Christians still sin, but they don't have continued failure. They don't have the overall, the same sin that just gets them over and over and over. That's what we're talking about. Continued sin and failure. There's another one. Somebody check out 1 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 8 through 10 and 14. This is, remember, the church of Corinth, right? So these are believers. Believers that he addressed as spiritual infants. But in chapter 12, yeah, verse 8 through 10, you've got spiritual gifts. You see this?
The one that was given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues.
So some of those things, have you guys seen these? Those are some pretty miraculous gifts, right? Healing, speaking in tongues. I mean, these are pretty, like, wow, those are supernatural gifts. And these things were present in the church. In the church, sir, that you read about that said, you're carnal. I can't feed you meat. I have to feed you milk. But yet over here, he's saying, hey, these things are present in the church. So these gifts are given to Christians. But they're operating in the gift without grace. Because they're still messing up. They're still spiritual infants. So you can operate in spiritual gifts. And don't let that fool you that you're mature. Just because you're operating in the gift. Now, these three pieces we brought up, right? Infancy, continued failure, and operating in the gift without the grace. Who knows the first command that God gave us? Genesis 1:28. A good one. Most guys really like this one. Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. I am so thankful that God commanded that. That is. What guy does not like the go forth, be fruitful, multiply? We love that, right? All right, well, that's what he's talking about in Genesis. But not only is he talking about, hey, have kids physically, God commanding us to, you know, have the hibbity-dibbity and have kids, he's also talking spiritually, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. In John 15:8, he says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit and show yourselves to be my disciples. So God is saying, not only do I want you to have kids and multiply, I want you to spiritually multiply. I want you to have spiritual kids. You see that? Now, when we get married, we want to have kids, right? And that is the... How many have kids here? Was that not just the most amazing time in your life when you saw your baby first come out? And it really, I mean, your child is the culmination of your love with your spouse. You love your spouse so much and you eventually have a child. Now, why can some people not have kids? There's three reasons. Three reasons, right? You might be sick. Maybe there's something wrong with your body. Physically, you are sick and you can't have a kid. You don't have a relationship. We're not, you know, the kind of beings that can just, I'll have a kid. You got to have a relationship with someone to have a kid. What's the third one? You're too young. You haven't reached puberty. You can't have a kid if you're too young. So these three things of why we can't have a kid physically are the same three things that we just talked about with the carnal Christian. Infancy, too young, you can't have a kid. Continued sin and failure, you've got sickness in your body. You will not reproduce if you have sickness in your body. And gifts without grace, you're operating without the Spirit. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you won't reproduce. So, here's the question. How many of you have a spiritual child? How many of you can name someone by name that is growing in faith because you interacted in their life? Wow. Some people, that's the first time they've ever heard that. That, you know what, I've been a Christian for this long, but I don't have any spiritual kids. I have not impacted anyone's life. The carnal Christian has one other thing here. The carnal Christian, if he can't eat meat, is unable to receive spiritual truth. They will not understand it. They just can't get it. And if they can't eat meat and they can't receive spiritual truth, they will not grow. You can be a Christian for years and years and years and be an infant and never grow. I've seen it. I've seen old, old people who have never, ever grown. If you had a baby, most of us do have a kid, and you have your child, infant, lovely baby, oh, I love my baby, you get deployed, you go away for a year, you come back, and the baby is still here. Sergeant Major, would that be weird? That would be weird. Something is wrong with that kid. So why is it that we accept it when a spiritual Christian stays like this and never grows? It's weird physically, why is it not weird spiritually? So, that's the carnal Christian. Now we turn to the spiritual Christian. If the carnal Christian is an infant, then the spiritual Christian is an adult, right? This one can't feed himself. This one can feed himself, herself. This one is able, without a chaplain or a pastor around, this one is able to get into the Word and to pull these golden nuggets out that are from God, and able to understand and distinguish spiritual things on her own. She's able to eat meat. She may need to start out when she first moves over. She may need to start out with small pieces cut up just right. But she can eat it, and eventually she's eating a big T-bone steak. And she's okay with it. And she can help other people. And she does help other people. Because you know what? She has spiritual kids. And people flock to her. Because you know what? All these Christians who need milk, they will seek people out like this to get milk. Continued sin failure, they still sin, but they don't have those begetting sins, right? They've got the grace and humility piece. We had gifts with this one, but no grace. This one has Galatians 5:22. They've got grace. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And self-control. Good thing. That's teamwork right there. But here's the thing. If you look that up, I grew up thinking a couple things. One, fruits with a T or with an S, fruits of the Spirit, and then I got this checklist of what I need to do in my life to do it. Well, those are both wrong. Alright? Because it says fruit. No, not plural. It's fruit of the Spirit. And it was only recently, within the last few years, I realized, holy cow, it's fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of Jeff. Earth-shattering for me. Earth-shattering. All of a sudden, I realized when I put myself in the presence of the Lord and the Spirit is in me, then these things are the result. They are the fruit of. They're not things I do. They are who I am when He is in me. The fruit of the Spirit. And that is the difference between the gift without grace and grace operating in your life. This one will try his darndest to do the checklist, and this one just spends time with the Lord and it naturally happens. You see the difference? Now this one, the spiritual reproduction. This one has no clue how to help other people. This one, you're going to see people, young believers, following them around. Whenever you see him or her, you're going to see other people around them because they want to be around them. They want to know what they know. They want to experience what they experience. During Jesus' time, he had how many disciples? 12, right? During the time, a disciple during the time was called a Talmid, and multiple were called Talmidim. And to become a Talmidim during Jesus' time, you normally would go out and you would interview rabbis and you would watch them and say, alright, don't like him, don't like him. And this one. This is the guy, I want to be like this guy. So, I'm going to go ask him. Hey, rabbi, can I follow you? And then this rabbi is going to watch me for a while. And then eventually he's going to say either yes, you can, or no, I don't like you, you're not smart enough, hit the road. If he says hit the road, you're done. You go about back to dad's farm and you start working the rest of your life because you don't have what it takes to be a Talmidim. Now, who knows what Jesus did as a rabbi? He comes to them in Matthew 4:19 and says, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He changed it. He flipped it around. And so when you sought out a rabbi, you wanted to be like that rabbi. And so what Jesus is saying is, hey, come follow me. You can be like me. And now these 12 guys follow him everywhere they go. And they followed him so close that they had dust all over them all the time because they wanted to be like the rabbi. Well, that same concept, Jesus taught us to do the same thing. You see Peter doing it. You see Paul doing it. You see in the New Testament, they're doing the same thing. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to do the same. That's four generations of spiritual people right there. That's what you've got right here. You've got people following this person because they just want to know what they know. They want to come closer to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, you've got a great infantry verse. Sermon, can you get that one? It's a great infantry verse. It is. First Corinthians 11:1 should say, follow me, I follow the example of Christ.
Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Yeah, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. The infantry verse, follow me. That's what's going on right here. It's not, hey, I'm all high and mighty. It's, hey, I follow Jesus, so follow me. Follow my example, because I'm following his example. That's an infantry verse right there. That's what we've got with a spiritual Christian. So, we've got the two, right? We've got the Christian who professes to be a Christian but lives like the devil, and then we've got the good Christian. So, we still have the same dilemma, right? The same one we started with. Why do we have the two? How did we get to this side from that side? Right. We had the cross, right? Well, guess what? A lot of people come to this side. Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. I got baptized. I'm wet. I'm good. I'm a Christian. Going to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. In Scripture, there's another one of these. And this right here, this cross between these two, that's why we've got two. There is another cross. There is a difference between the carnal and the spiritual. And let me tell you this. There's three steps, very simple steps, three pieces to moving from this side to this side. Here's what they are. The first one is to recognize that you're on this side. When you look at this and you say, wow, the fruit that is represented in my life doesn't come from that side. This is the first time I've heard this, but, oh man, as bad as it hurts, I think I'm a spiritual infant. And then we go to 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when we're over here and we realize this, we turn to 1 John 1:9 and we repent. Hey, God, I am sorry. I've remained a spiritual infant. The second thing, the second point that we need to know about the cross right here is that it's one step. It is a one-time thing. And then we come back to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Wait a second. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then you can turn to Romans 12:1 and 2. And it goes right along with this one step. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. The important thing to know about a living sacrifice, it can get up and walk off of the altar. It's living. So every day we have to get back onto the altar. Every day we have to put ourselves back on there. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, pleasing will. You want to know what God's will is? We talked about this last night. You want to know what God's will is? Then put yourself up on here. And do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. This one step, what you got in Galatians 2:20, and what 2:20 life is all about, the reason we came up with that name is because it's a life not about you anymore. The things you want, we were just talking about this as far as weightlifting and getting in shape and stuff. The reason I love this getting in shape while I'm here is because physically it's teaching me, boy, I'd love that apple crisp, but I have worked too hard on this body to eat that. That doesn't mean much for my body. It's fun to get in shape. It's fun to, you know, bench a lot. But what really matters is 2:20 life. Boy, I'd really like to look at that on the internet, but I've worked too hard on this relationship to screw it up with that. It's not about what I want. It's all about you. And the third step, this is the key for today. Luke 9:23. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Right here, folks, we've got the second cross. Here, all this time, we thought, you know what? Jesus died on the cross for me, and that's it. Little did we know that Jesus says, I did it, now you do it. Maybe not physically, not to crawl up on the cross, But spiritually, he is calling us to take up our cross. And if we don't, here's the thing. If you just put hedges in your life and block things out, you might be able to kill the fruit and look like a holy roller and do all the right things. But unless you get to the root, the fruit will continue to come back up. You have to kill the root in order to get the good fruit. This is how we do it. This is getting at the root right here. This might be the first time some of you have heard this about taking up your cross. I got some music. I got one song that I want to play. The song talks about this. It talks about surrender. Some of you may have never stood up in church before, and it can be embarrassing, and you like to just sit in your seat. However, this is my challenge for you today. If you find yourself in the land between the two crosses, you find yourself here, and you want to be here, I ask you, take up your cross today. I've got something just, if you decide to take up your cross, I got a bunch of these little crosses. They don't mean much, not anything special. But if you want to come up and just spend time with God, take one of these when you leave. Put it in your pocket as a reminder that you've taken up your cross today to follow Him. I'll be quiet now, and you spend time with God. But if you want to take up your cross, I invite you to just come on up. Get on your knees. Sit up here, sit on the stage, wherever. Spend some time with God.